I'll be reading from Luke 4, 16 to 21. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
I'll give you a brief introduction of Tom and Christine, because most of you have already met them. Tom's interests and works have led him to be a consultant to Christian and other secular organizations. His focus is planning for the future. He is an adjunct professor at Fuller Theological Seminary and author of The Mustard Seed Conspiracy and his newest book, The New Conspirators, Creating the Future One Mustard Seed at a Time. Christine is the executive director for Mustard Seed Associates, an organization that continues the work of Tom and Christine as they help other organizations face the challenges of the 21st century. She has been trained as a physician and is from Australia. She is the author of the book God's Space, Time for Peace in the Rhythm of Life. Together, they work to challenge people to think about the future. In chapel on Wednesday, they brought to our attention some of the issues that will be facing us in the next years as we graduate from EMU. And they were challenging us to be creative in our response instead of just fitting into the mold that society has created for us. So, please join me in welcoming Tom and Christine as they share more with us this morning.
Thank you, Dan. Good morning, EMU. Oh, that was robust and good. Where did we dine last night?
We dined at Martin House, and we really would recommend it, too.
Yeah, they're going to start doing dorm catering at night. Midnight pizza deliveries, so get in touch with them early. They're going to be very busy. Great place to eat. Wednesday night, we got a group of students together, and they created plans for your life. And so you'd probably be interested in hearing from them. We're going to have a few of them share some of the plans that we've made for your future. And so particular appreciation as we've gotten to know many of you students, we've been impressed with the number that are involved in some kind of service. How many are involved in some kind of service during the summer, during spring break, during the year? How many are involved in some kind of service related? Well, good on you guys. Good on you. We're going to talk about the future, and we're going to talk about service after EMU. We're going to talk about how we can find God's best for our lives. Really what we've been talking about, how many are really wanting, after they graduate, to find that sense of God's best for their lives and futures. Okay? Well, we're going to try to focus on that today. I'm going to ask Christine to say one more prayer for God's help, and off we go.
Dear God, we do pray for your help and your guidance this morning. All of us want to know what your best for our lives is, and we pray that we would listen to you and listen to the voices through which you are speaking to direct us. Guide our footsteps, we pray, and may all of us hear your voice this morning. In Christ's name, amen.
In an earlier life, I was a dean of students, working with people your age, and one of the things I learned early on is that you guys are going to make many of the most important decisions of your life in about a 5 to 8 year window. You're living at threshold time, not just of graduation, but you're going to make decisions about graduate school, work, singleness and marriage, and how seriously to take your faith. These are important years. Last night over dinner, Jacob asked me a really important question at Martin House. He asked, why is it some, people from our parents' generation were idealistic, but it didn't always happen for them? Well, we're going to address that today. It's a very important question, and it has to do with finding a sense of your focus first. If you don't, the culture, the society, and everything that goes with it will eat you alive if you don't have that kind of focus. So going to the next one, you just heard Luke 4, 16 to 21 read, and we use this quite a bit.
Well, this, of course, is Christ's inaugural statement. This is the first time he gets up in his hometown, and he declares what his sense of calling from God is. It's not just to preach the good news, but it is to bring justice to the oppressed. It is to give sight to the blind, release to the oppressed, good news to the poor. All of that is part of what Christ was called to do.
And those first disciples didn't just follow Christ and commit their lives to God. They committed their lives to the mission purposes of God. The most important work you can do, particularly juniors and seniors, is to find that sense of calling, what your part of the action is. I have a gift of disorientation often. When we work together, and when I travel alone, I often wind up in places I never planned to go.
I've had calls from all over the world asking where Tom is.
Yeah, so we'll try to stay on track and let's keep moving. One of the things that we find younger people, the new conspirators we talk about, calling the whole church to a more authentic whole-life discipleship and more missional congregations. Their call couldn't be more timely, because not only are we seeing declining attendance we talked about on Wednesday, but declining levels of participation. By my generation, your parents' generation, we've gotten so involved and so caught up in so many things that our participation in things of faith has increasingly been moved to the margins. Now, there are reasons for this. Some of us settle for making a living instead of making a life and making a difference. And one of the things that we raised on Wednesday was this new global economy. The marketers of the world have become brilliant at getting us to live into their fables and their myths, telling us that our identity, self-worth, and even life purpose is connected in dancing to their tunes, and that is bogus. We need to find another reason for being, another reason for getting out of bed. What too many of us in the church have settled for, and that's why the call to whole life discipleship is important, is that too many of us have settled for a dualistic discipleship, where it's all on the one side of the equation about getting ahead in the careers, getting ahead in the suburbs, getting the coolest, latest, newest, and over here it's making it to church when we work on, and Christianity for too many of us is becoming a devotional afterthought to real lives. And as a part of that, there are two different images of the better future at work: getting a piece of the rock while the getting's still good, and waiting for soul rescue when things go really, really bad. Which one do you think is more influential come Monday morning as people start the week out for many, many Christians of all ages? Clearly, it's getting a piece of the rock. The waiting for soul rescue, we need a new eschatology of hope, because we are not headed into a future where we're going to be individually rescued, but the imagery of what is being taught in books like Surprised by Hope by N.T. Wright is the imagery of coming home as a great bodily resurrected community where there is justice finally coming to the poor, peace to the nations, sight to the blind. This is not only a much more robust theology of the kingdom, but it's a new reason to get out of bed Monday morning. And one of the people that talks about this, of course, is Shane Claiborne.
Well, one of the things that we believe should be at the center of our lives is that what Jesus was doing was announcing the coming of a new world that was breaking into ours, a resurrection, a world that was really created by his resurrection, and that we have the privilege of being a part of and bringing glimpses of into God's world today.
And so the challenge for you at Threshold Time is how to live into, serve into, celebrate into that new world that's already here. But to do that, we need to find out how your life connects to God's purposes. And so that leads us to another issue. Life decision number one is not where to work as you leave EMU. Life decision number one is not where to live or even who to marry. Life decision number one is, how does God want to use my life, my mustard seed, to be a part of the good news of the inbreaking of God's kingdom? Then in light of that, you make all the other decisions. For example, if God is calling you to go to Zaire and do community development, marrying somebody that's going to be living in Harrisonburg, do you understand the commute's going to be really hard on the relationship? And so life decision number one is working with your pastoral counselors, your people here on campus ministries, to really discern that sense of calling. And some of you, we've mentioned this in a couple other venues, you've heard of purpose-driven life. Christine and I actually wrote a book that came out 3 months before called Living on Purpose, but But as we told people yesterday, we've not been afflicted with 22 million sales. But our purpose, our approach to this, for not only your generation, but everyone, starts with the affirmation that everyone is called.
How many of you believe that everybody is called by God?
Not just pastors
and those that work in churches. Yes, I think that this is something that we believe, but most of us don't really have a clear understanding of what it means to be called by God or how we can use that to really focus the rest of our lives.
And so what we're encouraging you to do is to get together with your campus ministry team and answer some questions. Do us this discernment process.
Yeah, we suggest that you do a retreat, you take some time, maybe with people, other people in your dorm, to think about how is God calling you and to be aware of and to listen to the different voices through which God will be speaking to you. Most of us know that God speaks to us through scripture and through prayer. And those are two of the voices that we need to listen to. But there are other ways in which God speaks to us too that we can use as part of this discernment process. God speaks to us often powerfully through the needs of others. You know, what are the needs in our world that really break your heart and give you a sense of the fact that you want to respond? That might be part of God's call on your life. God also speaks to us through our gifts and our talents. You know, if you're a musician, that might be part of God's call on your life. Or a photographer, if you're good at math, all of these things can be part of God's call on your life. God also speaks to us, though, through our brokenness. You know, what are the things that you've struggled with? Have you struggled with drug addiction? Have you struggled with alcohol? Have you struggled with abuse from the past? These things, too, can be part of God's call on your life. You know, people who have been drug addicts themselves are often the best at ministering to other drug addicts. And so all of these things need to be taken into account as we think about what is it that God is calling us to be and to do.
So what we're talking about is doing an active listening process, working with campus ministry people, out of what you're hearing to actually write down a beginning calling statement, and then to work to actually develop a plan, juniors and seniors particularly, for that first year out. How are you going to live into, serve into, celebrate into your part of working for God's kingdom? If you can find this sense of calling first, it's going to help you make life decisions as you leave EMU much more helpful. So plan for that first year out. Let me tell you about some folks that have done this. 25 young men that are part of one of the emerging churches in Chichester, England, felt God called them to work with at-risk teenagers in their community. So they covenanted together out of that sense of calling to not work more than 30 hours a week for money. As a consequence, they had to simplify their lifestyle, but it enabled them to free up 20 hours a week to work with young people that are dealing with issues of addiction. Do you see the possibility? But a Canadian businessman, a Mennonite, actually did it another way. He put a cap on his salary and all the administrative staff for 3 years. In order to increase wage package for lowest wage workers. Do you understand? We're suggesting we can't have another generation like too many of us who are older where ministry is purely optional, just a little word on the job for Jesus if you find a chance, because many of us don't. We need a generation who, like the new conspirators, are finding their calling and finding way either through their work time or discretionary time to be intentionally involved in what you're doing on campus.
Well, and part of this is the need to develop a whole new rhythm to our life. I think most of us recognize that we're called to be countercultural people, but we don't know how to live that out. And so I believe strongly that we need to develop a rhythm to our lives that shows we're countercultural people, where work and making a living isn't the focus, but where God and God's purposes are the focus.
And taking time for serious spiritual practices. A lot of folks are so busy, the only time they pray is when the pastor prays Sunday morning. So, and to do all of the above, we're going to need community. Peachtree Community is a radical Anabaptist community that does peace protests in Perth, Australia. They actually do Eucharistic celebrations in front of the gate where asylum seekers are kept, with guards on the other side of the gate and lighting their candles on the ground and doing Eucharist. They're a powerful group. We're all going to need communities, cluster reentry communities. Tell them just briefly about our community.
The photo here is of the small community that we live in called the Mustard Seed House. It's a big house divided into three separate apartments. We have a family who lives upstairs with three kids. We live on the middle floor with our golden retriever, Bonnie. And then there's a young couple that live in the basement apartment, which is a one-bedroom apartment. And we have common times together as well as separate times. We do one community meal a week where we also have a check-in time. We do morning and evening prayers five times a week. One of our principles is sustainability, so we work out in the garden together as well. We produce about 40% of our fruit and vegetables on an urban lot. So we work together to try and encourage each other to really follow Christ more seriously.
Okay, next one. Early church here in Harrisonburg is one of the models. We need churches that are more missional, and this is a church that really works with the community. Many of you are involved in making a difference.
Missio Dei is a Mennonite church in Minneapolis, planted by Mark Van Steenwyck. You may have heard of him. And the church plant revolves around this establishment of three residential household communities that have a rhythm of life similar to what we've been talking about that we do at the Mustard Seed House, and that has become the nucleus for the development of their church, which really has a focus on reaching out to the needs of the community.
Particularly people that have been losing their homes during the recession, they're helping them find other places to live. So three households living in community, working for the gospel. Your generation is going to need to create a range of new living possibilities so that you don't get stuck in just working for a mortgage company for 30 years, so that you have some of your life for other things. Launch YFC ever so quickly. How many are involved in youth ministries of any kind? Well, one of the things that I find is we don't recognize the kind of creativity your generation has and even teens have. There's a group called Launch YFC Toronto, where they're inviting any 15 to 19-year-old that has a new missional idea to bring it to them. If they think it's a good idea, they assign them a business mentor, do a business startup plan. Ted had a new idea. He was He took a trip. He went to Africa, did short-term mission trip. He noticed pastors there had to walk over 2 hours one way to visit one member of their church. Well, Ted loved bicycles. He came back to Toronto, collected 140 bikes, put them in working order, shipped them over. This group, Launch, helped him launch a new parachurch ministry called AfroCycle, the second load, 400 bikes, all rehabbed, and the cargo container was designed as a bicycle repair shop. We underestimate what young people are capable of. We've got 13-year-olds starting their own webpage business, and when they get to church, they've got adults telling them when to stand up and sit down. We need to challenge your imagination, the imagination. You can birth new ministries while you're at EMU. You don't have to wait until you're middle-aged. We need your creativity. And let's just get the creativity of the groups that are here. If you'd just please come up quickly. They have some plans for your future. They've been brainstorming, all of them. Come and see up. Quickly. Here's the whole group. And we're going to start by talking about doing something interesting on housing on campus to create some of that community. Then we're going to talk about gardening with the poor. And finally, a good news blog. Let's go.
The Village is a new housing community for EMU, replacing Roselawn as an affordable alternative to campus housing. It would consist of a group of community houses with a common space to relate and learn from each other in community. Not only students would live in the Village, but others such as faculty and their families, alumni on sabbatical, and even graduate students would be invited to connect with this group.
Doesn't that sound encouraging? Okay.
Well, the Urban Garden Initiative in Harrisburg, PEA, we've seen a lot of abandoned houses become demolished, and then that leaves these giant plots. We thought that would be perfect for urban gardens. We could employ local, lower-income families who would exchange their labor for the food produced, empowering them rather than becoming a form of charity. Some of the details of the community garden would include communal composting, bio-intensive plots, fruit trees, and beautification through flowers. The community could be involved through a monthly garden feast, and winter employment opportunities that would benefit summer growing.
Okay, cool. And our last group.
As a way to counteract negative media, our idea is to create a good news blog which would publicize positive things happening in communities. A local example would be to document what's happening with the homeless at our community place through photography and artwork as an effort to bring about awareness and hope. The good news blog would allow artists and writers to submit their own work, and a theme of the week could guide ideas, such as Feeding the Hungry, which would focus on local soup kitchens.
Let's give them a hand. Good stuff. Thank you. You're only limited by your creativity. Now, these are not ideas that are for sure going to happen, but they are possibilities. What we're encouraging you to do at Threshold Time is not only anticipate some of the new challenges, you need to, if you can find your sense of calling in Christ to seek first the kingdom, then you can create new ways to both engage those challenges and give new expressions to the kingdom. One of the things that we are big on is partying the kingdom. Christine and I do a celebration every Advent called Advent 2 Homecoming. Now, Advent 1 is when Christ comes to us, right? Advent 2 is when we come home to the kingdom, when we come up the mountain of God as a great resurrected community, justice, peace, shalom, finally come to this world. So we had 40 people over one Advent evening. They didn't know each other, and we asked them to share some of their most poignant memories of coming home. One guy shared what it was like to come back home from the wars when many of his buddies didn't make it back. A woman shared what she saw in her mom's face when she came home, the welcoming. And then we read out of Jeremiah about the captives coming home from Babylon to the city of David. You know those portions? I said, let's sing Jewish choruses like we're the ones that are coming home. So we started to sing Jewish choruses. It got upbeat and up tempo. I said, now let's dance into the kingdom. Let's dance into the street of God's kingdom. And all of a sudden, terror in the eyes of these Presbyterians and Baptists, and they started edging towards the door. But we had the doors locked and bolted. Unbeknownst to them, we had a Jewish folk dance instructor there. And for the first 15 minutes, it was painful to watch people move something that had never been moved before. But after 15 minutes, even Baptists and Presbyterians started to dance the shalom of God, the great homecoming of God, the resurrected future of God, danced until we're exhausted. And then we had food as a part of that new majority future. Food from Africa, food from Asia, food from Latin America, because that homecoming is going to be an incredible multicultural feast. And then we ended the evening, as we'll begin the homecoming, with the bread and the wine of the Eucharist. We can do better than letting American Idol and the whole consumer culture call the tunes for our lives and we dance. We can take charge of our lives, not just a little spiritual compartment, but all of our lives. And if you can discern the way God is calling you to use your life, your mustard seed, then you have the wonderful imaginative possibility of designing and creating whole new ways to be a part of the good news of God's kingdom and to find God's best for your life. It's a wonderful time to be alive. It's no accident that any of us are here at the second decade of the 21st century. We're here for a reason. The most important work you have to do in EMU, in addition to your education, is find that reason. Find God's call, and the campus ministry people, the counseling people, are ready and willing to work with you to discern that, and then the opportunity to imagine and create ways to live into that. Let's pray. Creator God, we thank you for a new generation. We thank you for so many people in this room who already have had a taste of your kingdom. They've traveled in cross-cultural experiences all over this planet. They work here in Harrisonburg with the poor and the needy. They reach out when they're back at home during the summer. They work during spring break. Thank God for young people at CARE. Now help every one of us to find your best for our lives. And help us to follow Christ by making God's purposes our purposes. Sight to the blind, release to the captives, good news to the poor. Help us to find the good life of God that is not found in seeking life, but is found in losing life to service to God and others in the name of the resurrected Christ that we follow. Amen.